Leviticus 16. In Leviticus 16 is about the Day of Atonement with Yom Kippur. Starting in verse 8. Well, let's start in verse 7. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now, in verse 10, just a minute. Verse 10 should say, but the goat upon which the lot fell for the Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over him, to send him away for Azazel into the wilderness. Okay?
That's sacrificing
It's not a sacrifice because the only time the word sacrifice, you remember, it had to be ritually slaughtered. This isn't a sacrifice. Something else is going on here. Now, the word scapegoat there is a terrible translation, as we've seen in these other examples. In the Hebrew, it's Azazel. And Azazel is a prominent figure in demonology. But they translated it as scapegoat for some unknown reason.
But the word is Azazel.
The word is Azazel, and Azazel is a demon, without any question. Big, powerful demon. Mean demon. Evil demon. We're going to tell you all kinds of Talmud and Zohar Azazel stories. And why, of all of the things that took place in the universe, why the scapegoat, why Azazel, why the goat should be sent into the wilderness for the Azazel. Why on Christ's baptism, when the exact moment that Christ was to be baptized, the high priest said, behold, the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So there's a weird thing going on here that we've never really gotten into in depth, and hopefully we're going to get into it in depth. Now, you had a question.
Yeah. How? Why is it cast lot? And how far back does this in type go? If all these things are done outside of time, why is he casting a lot? Wasn't like with Cain and Abel or Esau and Jacob, was there a lot? It wasn't chance. Why is this chance?
It isn't.
Okay,
that's the lesson.
It says cast lot.
That's the lesson. The word Barak in the Hebrew and Makarios in Greek is translated in English as blessed or bless.
Not subject to faith.
And you could just as easily say not subject to the lot. Understand?
There's
not subject to luck. Not subject to the luck of the draw. If you as a believer are blessed, then you're not subject to the lot. There's no such thing as the lot. It's all directed by God. So this is the unseen hand of God in which, by anybody's observation, is gambling. You understand? It's a biggie. Otherwise, you'll blame stuff on somebody else.
I got a spooky feeling when you read this that I did not get before when we studied the scapegoat. It's like being one of those goats. They're both presented at the door. The unlucky goat, to the senses, the one who says, oh shit, is the one that gets killed.
That's right.
The lucky one, to the senses, is the one that goes, oh boy.
to Azazel.
To run away into the wilderness.
That's right. Okay. As I said, this is an important distinction that you finally got to understand about everything, is that whenever the word sacrifice is used, it's a word that implies ritual slaughter. If there's no ritual slaughter with the two-edged knife cut at the exact right place, there's no sacrifice. It doesn't matter if the goat, you remember from our studies of this goat that runs off into the wilderness, they push him over edge of a cliff backwards. He gets killed. The Talmud says that that before he reached one-third of the way down this mountain, his limbs were off. His head and limbs were off because of the rocks that protruded. And it just tore him apart until he was killed, but he wasn't sacrificed. Just the same in you. If you present your body a living sacrifice, it has to be by the order of the Tamid, which means the slaughter, the ritual of the slaughter. You can only be sacrificed by the two-edged sword. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You cannot be sacrificed by your own emulsion. What do you call it? What's the word?
Emulation.
Where you burn yourself up or you throw yourself in the front of a car. That's not a sacrifice. That has nothing to do with it. You can't give by your understanding. That's not a sacrifice.
It's not of your will.
It's not something that you decided to do.
There's stuff that anything that you could do to yourself. The blame you would put on yourself.
I'm going to go and give my life to Jesus and I'm going to go off to some Timbuktu. And that's not a sacrifice. It's a decision. Therefore, it's not a ritual sacrifice under the law. Therefore, it's just some joker going off and doing dumb stuff. There's not one of you that would decide to be here. I certainly didn't. There's not, because are the instrument what?
That is funny.
The instrument of slaughter, the tamid, has to be by the instrument designed by God for this purpose. That's the two-edged sword, the rima of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the rima of God. You cannot go to the church of your choice and present yourself as a sacrifice. You know, think about it in the contradiction of terms. You go to the church of your choice and expect to be moved by God. Doesn't make sense. Well, what happens to free will? As long as you have free will, go to the church of your choice. When you've reached the end of yourself, then you will hear. I mean, that's what's so fascinating to me about getting into the details of the law. You find out these things. Just because something dies, and if you can imagine this great sheep, right? It's a really great sheep, and he runs up and... Here I am!
Okay, now, slit my throat. Now, drain the
blood. He would be rejected.
Now open my spleen.
I think we've all tried to do that too.
Because he did it by his own volition. Now this is so big in terms of the people in your group that it's unbelievable.
I keep thinking about Sharon, who says she keeps trying not to come. Keep it thinking, you know, she'll go away for a while and she'll end up back over there. I can't.
Okay, so the goat that was dispatched for Azazel was not a sacrifice. Even though it was presented at the door. Okay, this is the same thing as the when we studied the leper. Remember, there were two birds. One bird, the neck was slaughtered, and the other bird was left to fly over the uninhabited field. Well, here, there's one goat killed, and one goat that's left to that's taken to the uninhabited wilderness. Now, the goat was sent away in order to carry away from the conscience, the consciousness of sin. To carry away from your mind the possibility that you have sinned. It's forgotten as far as the east is from the west. And that's the purpose of the scapegoat. As long as you remember or take cognizance of your mistakes, you are not doing it as unto the Lord, but as unto Azazel. You understand me? Mm-hmm. This will cut the balls right out of religion. This is extreme. I hope you heard me.
Yeah, there's something blooming here.
This sacrifice, seen as already completed by Jesus Christ, is so complete that if you, in type, all of the sins of Israel, all of the mistakes of Israel, all of the screw-ups of Israel, all of the were placed on that goat. The goat then carried them for Azazel. He took him to the demon Azazel. If you retain them in your mind, your consciousness of error, your consciousness of mistake, then what you are doing is the goat that is taking the sin to Azazel, because you have denied the sin offering, which was the first goat. If there's any consciousness of error, consciousness of the possibility of making a mistake, consciousness of the possibility of making a sin or a trespass, you are the goat still out there trying to carry the sin to Azazel.
And the scapegoat looks just like...
Looks just like the other one, exactly. They had to be twins. It makes you want to shout. It's the best news you could possibly have.
What's holding away and looking at Christ? I never thought about him as take that part of taking away the sin. They didn't register.
Yeah.
Taking away from consciousness. Taking away.
Well, let's now go. Please let me get to Azazel, the neat stuff. We got some neat
stuff.
No, I mean, we got some really...
You should be on this end. This is a lot of...
Yeah, but see, if we miss step one, there's no point in going to
step
14.
Two, yeah.
There's no point.
Yeah, but I want to tell you the Zohar stories.
Well,
yeah,
let's get one for sure.
Huh?
No
one is pretty good.
Of sin stuff.
Not just sin, mistake or error.
Clear your pipes.
It's like a spiritual enema.
Well, it's like a beast of burden, and the burden is the sin of the world.
Okay. Hebrews 10. Ain't that special?
These are magical and unexplainable matters.
Well, this is
pretty much.
This is the most magical and unexplainable thing there is, what we're studying tonight.
I'm sure the tape machine's working.
But you... You have to understand that if you are in your sincerity carrying, well, a propensity to want to...
Propensity is such a mild word.
Sorry for what I did last week.
What you are doing is you're carrying, you're the goat carrying the sin to Azazel.
Yeah, there's only one place to end up. With.
Do you understand?
Verse 27, you mean?
27 what?
10:27.
We're not anywhere near 27. We're at 10:1.
Larry goes right to 27.
That goat too was Christ.
Behold the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He caused the oblation to cease in the middle of the 7 years.
So that's why it's so really bad for us to try to take the sin away, because he's already...
Nice.
The garbage is already taken out.
That's enough. With the time difference between your understanding of Christ after the flesh and your understanding of this that we're talking about tonight is the mystical 3.5 years. Because it's the time that he was baptized and took away the sin of the world by his baptism. He became the scapegoat, da-da-da-da-da, to the time of the cross, and he went down. Same thing. One is after the senses, the other is after the spirit. All right. Hebrews 10, verse 1. Well, let's start in verse...
Chapter 9,
verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What?
The goat carries the sin away, took place uninhabited, out of view, and then
he appears.
Sin, he's coming back, but he's coming back without the sin.
It's without the sin.
Is that what that says?
That's what that says.
Does it always say that?
Yeah. But he comes back, not in some stupid idea of spiritual yo-yo that takes no cognizance of this, that says there's going to be, this great by and by someday. He comes back and he appears to you. As you see him, you shall be like him.
That's a good commentary.
For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers are once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. Just as easily say, no more consciousness of sin, no more consciousness of trespass, no more consciousness of error. That's why the disciples in one generation turned the world upside down. They had no consciousness of sin, trespass, mistake, error, as they were in the world as he was in the world. As we are in the world, so is he. As he is in the world, so are we. We are one.
Amen.
Now, behold, see. And it says the Lamb of God, as we know there was no difference in Aramaic. Behold, the goat of God that has taken away the sin forever from you. You don't want to make him be offered again. Now let's see what this, let's see if we can investigate the personality of this guy who you've been taking your sin to.
This is an off-the-wall comment, but it seems appropriate that they've just broken through that physical barrier of fusion. More coming out than comes in.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, that we've been under the law of gravity all this time, but suddenly it's breaking out and
they just don't know what to do with it yet.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Now, Azazel. As I said, according to the Talmud, and it's implied here in Leviticus 16, where we just read, the goat was fully loaded with all of the sin of Israel for the past year. All of the sin, all of the mistakes that Israel had made. Every possible little nuance, every little sideways glance that made somebody mad, every forgetting to talk to somebody before they wrote a memo, and every possible thing, every argument between man and wife. What?
Well, he's got enough.
Yeah.
What?
Everything that he forgot to do.
No, he didn't take away that.
Yeah, he did that way.
Most everything.
Every beer he ever bought.
Except right. It's a little known thing that it says, if you buy a beer for Barry, you're dead meat. With the rabbi's money.
Who's that there?
Beth and Luke been here.
Huh?
Beth and Luke been here.
Oh, when was that?
Oh, I don't know. Some day he came over there and you're not supposed to give me money.
Right.
They probably thought he did a good work, too.
All right.
I knew I was doing wrong.
Yeah, they know
he's
good now.
Whoa. If thou sinnest willfully, there remaineth no covering, but a certain fearful looking forward to his judgment.
He knows all these things.
That's how
he
lives.
If you have sinned willfully, after that you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You better give your soul to God, because Ole's got your ass.
Get on with the preaching.
Preach about Azazel.
Now, interestingly enough, as we go back in time, we find similar goats in other cultures. In Babylon, what the priest did, they had a similar ceremony on the festival called Akitu. I'm sure you want to know that. Well, they took and they plucked the hairs off the goat until the goat got so mad at them, he ran away.
You made that up.
I did not. Read, if any of you desire to find it, go to the tract of the Talmud called Yoma, Y-O-M-A, and it's in section 66B.
Oh, of, don't the
Yoma.
Of
the Yoma.
I'll take your word for it.
They plucked off the hairs of the goat, because the hair of the goat in Babylon represented all of their sins and mistakes. So they were plucking them out till the goat got all, and they were saying to the goat, take and go, take and go. And then they said, in Babylon, it says, why is this goat waiting here when the sins of this generation are many and are still upon them? And this was in Babylon at the festival of Akitu, or their new year. And the goat was sent to the goddess of the abyss, and her name was Ereshkigal. I'm sure you want to know all that. The Hittites, during the plagues, if there's any plagues or serious illness among the Hittites, they'd take a goat, the priest would lay their hands on him, and they'd sneak into the enemy camp and let the goat loose.
Hoping they would eat it.
Yeah.
But what was wrong with the goat now?
There was a plague in the camp, or in the sickness, and whatever, and they'd sneak. They'd
give a sacrifice.
They'd lay their hands on the goat, and then they'd get somebody to lead it into the enemy camp and let it loose. Then they'd go all wild because there's a goat, wild goat in the camp, but they knew what it meant. Now, Azazel is considered a supernatural power of supernatural power. And the purpose of Yom Kippur ceremony was to get rid of the evil by banishing the goat to its original source, to Azazel. Okay? Now, Rabbi Ishmael explained that it is named Azazel because it atones for the acts of the two fallen angels. One of them was Azazel, instead of Azazel, A-Z-A-E-L, and the other's one of the other's name was Uz, U-Z-Z. Now, in the retelling of the story of the sons of God and the daughters of men in Genesis 6, the first book of Enoch, and Enoch is quoted in the New Testament, and it was canonical, I mean it was part of the Bible, has Azazel as one of the leaders of the angels who desired the daughters of men. It was he who taught humans how to manufacture weapons of war.
Azazel or
Azazel? They're both the same. Another name for that angel, Uz, U-Z-Z, is Shemhazi. Shemhazi and Azazel were two angels in God's confidence before the earth was created. They asked, at the fall of Adam, they asked, Lord of the universe, did we not warn you on the day of creation that man would prove unworthy of your world? This is Azazel speaking. Azazel is speaking to God. And God replied, but if I destroy man, what will become of my world? Azazel answered, we, meaning the angels, will inhabit it. And God asks, will you not sin even worse than man? And they pleaded, let us dwell there for a while, and we will sanctify your name. So God allowed them to descend, but they were at once overcome by lusts for Eve's daughter. Eve's daughters were, we're talking babes. Now, Shemazai, Shemhazai.
That don't sound too bright.
Begat through one of Eve's daughters two monstrous sons named Hewa and Hiya. Each of them ate daily 1,000 horses, 1,000 camels, and 1,000 oxen.
Yeah. From them we get the Basques.
Huh?
Sounds like Louis. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Azazel's function, or what he did, was he invented the ornaments, the cosmetics, and in many cases the music employed by women to lead men astray.
Oh, goodness.
Lead men astray.
It's written.
I'd like to write down the reference for that so I can make Xerox.
And now, God looked down, and Adam had fallen, but and that now the sons of God, the angels, were mating, and they having these monster sons that ate all the camels. God was upset at this point.
Camels, of course, are very small. They're animal crackers.
God warned them.
Leave off the camels.
You can have these daughters, but the camels, leave alone.
God warned Azazel and Shemazai that he was about to destroy all life on the face of the earth. And so Shemazai wept for his sons, who were, according to these stories, they were tall enough to escape the flood, but they would have starved to death because there would be no food. One of the sons dreamed of a huge table, a huge rock that was like a tabletop, like a mesa, on top of the rock, with four letters inscribed on it. The other son dreamed of a fruitful orchard with one at a time angels filling all the trees until only a single three-branch tree remained. Now, Shemazai interpreted the first dream that only Noah and his three sons would live, and Shemazai, the angel, repented and was accepted back to God. The other dream wasn't interpreted. The one with all of the trees of the orchard being felled, and there was only one left with
three
branches. And so you could, well, no, it's one tree. It's the way a cross would form. I mean, if you.
Mm-hmm.
So the angel Shemazai, I can't ever pronounce it, S-H-E-M-A-Z-A-I, repented. Azazel did not, and he still, his primary job is the prime tempter of men until this day. Therefore, Azazel.
So Lucifer is Satan, and then these others are like Azazel is a big,
important demon.
He's one of the angels that went with Satan.
Yeah.
But Satan's a big guy.
Satan's the god of everything. Zohar says that Shem Hazai and Azazel were seduced by demonesses. One of them being Naamah and Lilith. Now Lilith, according to the Zohar, was the first wife of Adam. But God created.
Tell that story.
No.
I love that.
I'm not going to tell that story.
Does
he know this story?
Yeah, I told this in Bananas.
Oh, just give us the abbreviated.
No. They produced, they are the ones that produced the seduction of, that was an alternate story. They are the one that produced the sons of God, which tempted the daughters of men, and that caused the... No. Shemhazai and Azazel were seduced by two demonesses.
Right.
One of them is Naamah, and the other one is Lilith, the night demon.
Okay.
The night demon, Lilith, was the one that goes back all the way, according to Hebrew demonology, as being the original wife of Adam. But anyway, so that's another alternative. The resultant was still the sons of God were mating with the daughters of men, and the world had to be destroyed at the first flood. Okay? You tell the story if you want to.
God saw that Adam needed a wife, so he reached down and he made the first wife out of the dust of the earth rather than taking a rib out of his side. But the problem is, the dust of the earth he picked up was where Adam had taken a dump. And he made Lilith. And all she did was bitch and moan and scream at him and drive him crazy.
Is this true?
That's the story.
Like most people's first
she was made out of shit. I love that story.
It's the only thing I've said to him in 5 years that he remembers. And it's not even from the Bible. It's not a Bible story.
Well, you told him.
So why, you're probably
going
to get to this, but why Azazel
for the
sins to be taken?
We're going to get to that in a minute. I want you to think about what I said about two things. One is that the ritual goat for Azazel was not a sacrifice. And the second part of it is that in that same token, as long as you maintain an awareness of the potential or the awareness of error, the awareness of mistake, the awareness of trespass, the awareness of sin, that you are no longer, you're not a sacrifice either. You're simply carrying a message or bearing something for the demon Azazel. Now, the blood of Christ has taken away all consciousness of error, all consciousness of sin, all consciousness of trespass, all consciousness of mistake. That means that it's impossible, if you could see.
Something we have to try and make happen.
No, it's done. So I want you, tonight, rather than, I could go on all these wild stories about Azazel and stuff, and we'll get into it next time, but I want you to take away now the consciousness of Jesus Christ in the blood, that you no longer have to live, and anytime your mind says it, it's just Azazel speaking. Anytime somebody else says it, it's Azazel. And we'll see as we go through this, Azazel takes on many forms.
Accuser
of the brethren? He's one of them.
I don't know if too much can be made of this, but you know, the story of the, you know, two angels, that one of them, you know, saw the Noah, but the other one didn't understand the tree with the three branches. I mean, that's a definition of what Azazel is. That it, you know, that
didn't see the tree. Didn't see the cross. Okay. For John's sake, I'll wait till Azazel stories Wednesday night.
I think we should let Harry be.
We consider it until Azazel's turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
You know, as many times as we've heard that there, you know, consciousness of sin, no consciousness of sin, you know, it's like hearing it new.
It's as though I've never heard Torah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel. That would be, that was what he accomplished when Erwin said, "Behold the Lamb or the goat of God that taketh away the sin." That they take away the consciousness, you know, that for to me that is the big thing, the consciousness of error, the consciousness of a sin.
See, now
failure.
Now you can be truly free to partake of Passover at rest if you see this, if you understand it.
Yeah. It's like it touches a new place in you, you know, when you hear it again.
It wouldn't have the little bit of Paul that we read tonight, that happened to me, where he says, "Now, the law, which is just a shadow," and I've heard that a million times, but tonight to hear that, "Now, the goat, which was just a shadow."
Anybody have anything else?
Thanks.
Take it, big guy.
Yeah, a blessing.